Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater program number 360 in the series. We've done 360 radio shows here, Lisa.
It seems like more.
Seems like a lot more.
Thousands, at least.
Yeah, it is February 9th. It's a Saturday night. And look who is in the booth. It's Shante Garth, our regular producer. Great to have you back, Shante. And we have classic radio shows, Lisa Wolf and I. We have The Shadow from 1938, starring Orson Welles. Oh, that's going to be good to start things off. Then it's My Friend Irma, starring Marie Wilson from 1947. And then it's Inner Sanctum Mystery, one of the greatest mystery shows of the golden age of radio from 1945. Great lineup. We'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning. We're going to start things off with Cat's Pride. Is it real or is it ridiculous, our game?
Right. We're going to start off with Bruce Willis as the celebrity for hour one. Good one. You've heard of him.
Yeah.
Good.
Die Hard.
Good. Good.
Right.
Right.
I'm trying to think. Moonlighting.
Moonlighting. He's done a lot of television, too.
Yeah.
And the prize will be
Pulp Fiction.
A Lumel Nottis gift certificate.
Yeah. Well, it's pizza night.
It's
pizza
National
month,
Pizza Day.
Right?
No,
okay.
It's pizza day.
Oh, pizza day.
It's pizza day.
For my son, it's pizza month because he eats pizza pretty much every day.
I love pizza, but it's a Lumel Nottis gift certificate, and we are going to go for caller number four.
All right. Caller four, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Caller four, call now. We'll play the game right after these words.
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
And we're going to have a little fun. We've got Don on the phone. Hey, Don.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Terrific. Glad you made it
Hi,
through.
Don.
You've heard of Bruce Willis?
Yes, I have.
That's a good thing. And here we go. Carl is a great lifeline, so he's standing by right here. Okay, number one.
I'm actually sitting.
He's sitting, but he's standing by. Bruce.
Go opposite of me, Carl.
All right. Bruce Willis released an album in 1987 titled Tribute. Is that real or ridiculous?
Ridiculous.
Oh, I forgot my sound effects thing in my
what?
Bag.
All right.
I'll have to do it vocally here.
All right.
I'm going to agree with Don. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, although you are correct. He did release an album in 1987.
Yeah, but it wasn't called Tribute.
It was not called Tribute. It was called The Return of Bruno.
All right. So here's,
so you're
here's
both
for you,
right.
Don. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's for you, Carl, too. Okay, number two. As a child, Bruce had a stutter. Is that real or ridiculous?
Mm.
I'm going to go real with that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Carl likes to moan and groan a little bit before he answers.
I'm sorry, Don, but I'm going to go against you on this one. I'm going to say it's ridiculous.
All right. Well, Don knows what he's talking about. And Carl,
man.
You do not. He did have a severe stutter
really?
As a child.
That's interesting.
Isn't it?
Wow.
And that's my job, to
Don
find
knows
interesting
his stuff.
Things.
Way to go, Don.
Number three, Bruce was offered the starring role in the movie Ghost, but turned it down. Real or ridiculous?
That's real.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that.
That is real.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You did a great job. You
got
all three right, which is really atypical around here. Carl seems to mess things up, but you did a great job. Either way, you're a winner. You've won a Lumel Nottis gift certificate. Lumel Nottis is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza, our favorite here at WGN Radio Theater. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at lumelnottis.com. Thank you so much. You did a great job.
Thank you. I ate there tonight.
Oh, you know what? Next time you'll have a free one.
Way to go, Don. Thanks, buddy.
Bye-bye.
All right. Don is a big winner. He knew all three, Lisa.
He did.
Wow.
You should listen. I got two out of three. Sometimes you should listen to our listeners. Maybe they know a little
something.
For some
reason, I just didn't think he was a stutterer.
I think it was all in my delivery.
It's great. He overcame that. And
He overcame the stutter.
Yes. All right. We have a text in line because we love hearing from our listeners. It's why we're here. We are here for you.
Well, I am. Anyways.
We love playing these classic radio shows for our listeners, and we love hearing from you.
I do.
Our text in line is 312-981-7200. We're here till 2 o'clock in the morning, so feel free to text in. We just absolutely love hearing from you. All right, it's time for The Shadow. Orson Welles, for a short time, Lisa, played Lamont Cranston, alias The Shadow, and Agnes Moorehead, who was Endora on Bewitched, was the lovely Margot Lane, his sidekick. Like, you're my sidekick.
I'll be Margot Lane any day.
You're my Margot Lane. And The Shadow came to radio in the 1930s, but it was not like he wasn't a superhero or like, you know, could cloud men's minds or anything. He was just a narrator of stories out of Street and Smith magazine. But by 1937, they revamped the whole show and made him the central character. They made him Lamont Cranston, this wealthy young man about town. He had this girlfriend, Margot Lane. She was the only person that knew that Lamont Cranston was really the Shadow, or vice versa, that the Shadow was really Lamont Cranston. And Lamont Cranston had learned the power to cloud your mind. It was a hypnotic power. He could cloud anyone's mind and make himself invisible to that person. He used that power to fight crime. He would, you know, creep people out. He'd come into the room invisible and he'd say, "You're a murderer. I know you're a murderer," blah, blah, blah. And people would freak out and kind of confess. And that's what he used to do. So it was a whole show about that. And it was very popular.
If only that would work, if it were only that simple.
Very popular show. Orson Welles was the first Lamont Cranston, but then he got so popular with The War of the Worlds and he was making Citizen Kane, he left the radio show. Then Bill Johnstone took it over, John Archer, Brett Morrison. So I think you're going to like this. This is an Orson Welles episode. It's called The Power of the Mind. It's from April 24th, 1938. Here's part one now of The Shadow.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadow knows.
The Shadow, Lamont Cranston, a man of wealth, a student of science, and a master of other people's minds, devotes his life to righting wrong, protecting the innocent, and punishing the guilty. Using advanced methods that may ultimately become available to all law enforcement agencies, Cranston is known to the underworld as the Shadow. Never seen, only heard. As haunting to superstitious minds as a ghost. As inevitable as a guilty conscience. The Shadow's true identity is known only to his constant friend and aide, Margot Lane. Today's story, The Power of the Mind.
Paper, evening paper, paper mission, laboratory of famous chemist Rex, discoverer of new mystery, explosive missing, paper, paper.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's a special radio flash on the mysterious disappearance of Professor John Hardy. He was last seen entering a black limousine and was accompanied by a heavy-set man wearing a Van Dyke beard and a tall, slender woman of foreign appearance. Secret Service agents are reported investigating the case due to the importance attached to the professor's reported discovery of a new type explosive, more powerful than any known to munition makers in any country in the world.
Come in. Come into my cabin, dear Countess Anna.
Well, Richter, has your very stubborn and courageous American inventor talked? given you the formula for that high explosive he so determined shall fall into no other hands save his own government?
No, but he will. He can't stand much more of Ivan's treatment with a whip.
Be careful. Too much torture can destroy the mind. And if Professor Harvey's mind snaps, you will never get the formula. Because we know for certain he has never written it down.
I know. I have warned Ivan to be careful.
Ivan's idea of care is to see how close he can come to whipping a man to death without actually doing so. Why do you keep that big brute as a bodyguard? He has the mind of a child.
In our business of espionage, Contessa Zara, it is often useful to have servants who cannot think for themselves. Besides, Ivan is rather cunning in an animal sort of way.
Stop.
Yeah, listen.
I can't anymore. I can't. No. Don't hit me again.
Did you hear that? Success at last, my dear Countess. I think Professor Hardy is ready to give us the formula.
No. I'll tell you where I hid the gold. I found it. But I hid it. I found it at the end of the rainbow. And I hid it.
I hid it. But I'll tell you.
Victor, I warned you. His mind has snapped.
Yeah, man, you fool. I told you to be careful. Give me that whip. I told you.
I don't strike him hard. I don't.
Oh, stop it. What good will it do you to beat Ivan? He doesn't even feel it. It's your fault. You should have watched him better.
So you're telling me what to do, are you, Countess?
It's about time someone did. You've certainly bungled this. Now how are you going to get the formula? The man's out of his mind. No amount of physical torture can make him tell us.
Take him back down to the hold of the ship, Ivan.
I obey. Come, Professor. Come with me.
It's at the end of the rainbow, the gold. So, you destroyed his mind. Good work. Like having a formula in a sealed envelope and throwing it in the fire. Now what are you going to report to headquarters?
Be quiet, Anna. I'm not finished. There's still a chance. Another way of getting his secret out of him. Even if his mind is gone. It may be an easier, surer way. Oh, why didn't I think of it before?
What are you talking about? How can there be any other way with his mind destroyed by days and days of Ivan's fiendish torture with the whip?
Zara, it so happens that a fellow countryman of mine, Dr. Waldeck, one of the world's greatest psychiatrists, is in this country, right here in the city.
And I suppose he'll gladly come down to this ship, the Star of Zealand, and get Professor Harvey's secret from him for you.
No, not gladly, perhaps, my dear Countess. But he will come. Just wait and see.
I enjoyed your lecture very much, Dr. Waldeck. Our club has been honored tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Cranston. You are a scientist interested in psychiatry?
Well, in a way, Dr. Waldeck, I'm really only an amateur criminologist.
So, then perhaps you could tell me something of this remarkable man I've heard so much about. Even before I made this trip to America, a man called The Shadow.
The Shadow? I'm afraid not, Doctor. No one knows very much about him. Have you heard?
Oh, a great deal. I understand he is a master of mass hypnosis, of method suggestion. He has you criminals and police quite baffled by his ability to appear in a room crowded as, let us say, this club of yours and yet remain unseen.
You seem to have no doubt of the Shadow's existence, his power, Doctor.
Oh, none whatever, Mr. Cranston. In fact, I should like to meet this Shadow. but then I suppose I should have to commit some crime in order to do so, and I wouldn't care to carry my scientific research quite that far.
I think the Shadow would enjoy meeting you, Doctor. We have much in common. I think he would be profoundly interested in your work in psychic research, particularly in the field of mental telepathy. You know, it might be interesting if you and the Shadow could make a test of thought transmission with a purely mental telepathic method.
It would indeed. this Shadow, from what I hear, he has little time for theory. He deals mainly in the harsh realities of criminal investigation.
Yes, but the two pursuits are not as far removed from each other as some persons seem to think.
Message for Dr. Waldeck. Dr. Waldeck.
Right here, John. Message for you, Doctor.
Here you are, Doctor. Gentlemen, the lady are waiting outside in their car.
Oh, thank you. Well, that's unusual. Most unusual.
Is there any answer, Doctor?
Answer? Yes. Say to the Countess I will come immediately.
All right.
I will do what I can. You will excuse me, Mr. Cranston. A countrywoman of mine is in need of help, and I must go at once. Perhaps we will meet again.
Well, goodbye.
Come in. Come in.
So, here you are, Lamont Cranston. I thought you promised to take me to dinner tonight. You're an hour late.
I know. I'm terribly sorry, Margot.
You're sorry, but Margot Lane, your assistant, is hungry. What's the matter, Lamont? You seem preoccupied. Was anything troubling you?
Yes, Margaret, something is troubling me, but I'm blessed if I know what it is.
Would it be Dr. Walden? Ever since you talked to him at the club last night, you've been wondering if he suspected that you were the Shadow.
I don't think he knows, Margaret.
Then what are you worrying about?
Simply that all day long I've had the feeling that Dr. Walden has been trying to get in touch with me, or rather, I should say, with the Shadow.
But how could
Margot,
he?
Waldeck practiced what he preached. He is a master of mental telepathy.
Well, the Shadow isn't exactly a novice at mental telepathy either. Makes you think he's trying to get in touch with me.
At intervals, all day, my mind has kept reverting to thoughts of distress, coupled with Waldeck's name. Waldeck's name and another name. Star of Zelum.
That sounds like the name of a ship.
Perhaps, but it doesn't make sense.
Well, it seems to me it'd be easy to find out if Dr. Waldeck's in trouble. Why not call his hotel?
I've been on the point of doing it several times, but...
Here, give me that phone. Let me call him. The trouble. You, Lamont, get so wrapped up in things like thought transmission. You get the obvious, telephone.
That's why I have an efficient assistant like you.
Hello? Will you connect me with Dr. Waldeck, please? What? Are you sure? The secretary's had no word either. No. Never mind, thank you.
He'll tell me where Waldeck is?
No, he hasn't been seen or heard from since he left your club last night at 11 o'clock.
He is in trouble. He has been trying to communicate with me, the Shadow.
Lamont, that other name, Star of Zealand. Maybe he's been trying to let you know where he is.
Yes, I'm sure of it. Star of Zealand. He said it sounded like the name of a ship. It's just possible. Hand me that newspaper, Margot.
Got it here.
Yeah, shipping news. Let's see here. Here it is. Sailing, arrivals, departures in port. Margot. There is such a ship in port, Star of Zealand. Freighter General Cargo Pier 83. Margaret, your car outside?
Yes, want me to drive you down to the dock?
Yes, come on, there isn't a minute to lose. That ship is scheduled to sail at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning.
You think Dr. Waldeck is on board?
Yes, and I'm just as certain he's in trouble and needs help. Help from the Shadow.
Zealand over there, Lamont.
Well, there's a couple more blocks, Margot.
Wouldn't it be better to let the police investigate? You have so little to go on. You can't even be sure there is anything wrong.
If I can't convince you, Margot, what chance do you think I'd have of persuading the police to board a tramp steamer and search it for a man not even reported missing?
But how on earth would you search a ship without help? It would take hours.
It won't be necessary. I'll know if there's anything wrong if Waldeck's there. 5 minutes after I've walked on the gangplank, I'm going aboard as a Shadow.
We're nearly there.
Slow down, stop for the next pier.
Right.
I don't think you'd better wait, Margot. It's a tough section. It's late.
All the more reason for my waiting. Don't worry about me, Lamont. I'll lock the car door. And another thing, if you're not back in 15
minutes... No, Margot, I may need more time, but keep the shortwave radio team there in their usual band. If you don't hear from me in half an hour, then go ahead and notify the police.
All right, half an hour, but not a minute longer. I wish I knew what you were walking into, Lamont. I don't like this mental telepathy blind man's buff.
Neither do I, Margot, but during the ride down here, I've had a stronger feeling than I did at first that Dr. Waldeck is in desperate need of help. Stay in the car, Margot. Lock the doors and sit tight until I come back. You hear from the Shadow.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with the Shadow in a moment to find out what new spot his enemies have put him on.
All right, Margot Lane. That's the first portion of the Shadow, Margot.
You can call me Margot. I have no problem with
Margot,
that.
Margot, do you have a T at the end
I
of
do
your,
not.
Margot?
Nope.
Or is it just M-A-R-G-O?
Yeah, just simple.
Because I think Margot on the radio show was, or on this show, was Margot with a T at
well,
the end.
Well, I do not. That's where we differ right there.
That's the first portion of The Power of the Mind from April 24th, 1938. Orson Welles as the Shadow. On this particular episode, Margot Stevenson is playing Margot Lane. And, you know, they think that that's where they got the name Margot because of Margot Stevenson, the actress. And they were like, oh, just call her Margot Lane. you know.
That's a great name, actually, Margot.
Yeah. It's not too many people are named Margot anymore.
I like that
name. It's like Harlow.
Harlow and Margot.
Yeah.
Those are our next two children. Not ours, just ours.
Maybe a puppy dog. I might get a puppy dog and name him Margot.
I don't even think you can handle a puppy dog.
I probably couldn't. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, David. Welcome back to the show. I'm Carl Amari. To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. It is 11:37. Saturday night, we're here. It's our time slot, 11 till 2 in the morning. We play all your favorite classic radio shows. Sunday nights, we're here from 11 till 1 o'clock in the morning. 5 hours a week, we play five classic radio shows, all your favorites. Boston Blackie tomorrow, Lisa, along with Jack Benny, I believe, tomorrow. Tonight, we have the conclusion to The Shadow. Then it's My Friend Irma. And then Inner Sanctum. That's quite the lineup.
Thank
and
you.
A great lineup tomorrow as well. But right now, it's time for the conclusion to Orson Welles' In the Shadow.
Well, my good Dr. Waldeck, what success have you had with our stubborn mental patient, eh?
None, Victor.
Come now, Doctor. You've been here on the Star of Zealand since last night?
Not by my choice.
I admit that. But surely you, one of the world's greatest psychiatrists, are not going to allow a deranged mind to stand between you and your chance of leaving this ship alive.
It is impossible, I tell you. Only one thought dominates the mind of Professor Hardy. If you had not allowed your servant to immersively beat him, it would not be so difficult.
I did not come down here to listen to excuses. I want that explosive formula from Professor Hardy. I mean to get it. Now.
Very well. He is there in the bunk, sleeping. Perhaps you could succeed where I have failed.
You haven't failed. You haven't tried to penetrate his subconscious mind. But you're going to try. Devon, come here. Bring your whip.
The whip failed you once, Victor. It will fail you again. You brought me here against my will. But neither you nor that brute in this whip can make me reveal the secret knowledge of that man's mind. A secret he sacrificed his reason to keep from you.
We shall see if you have the same courage and determination as Professor Hardy. Ivan.
I am ready.
Very well, Dr. Waldeck. One last chance. Get Hardy out of that bunk. Question him. Use the method you so eloquently described at your lecture last night. The method used to penetrate the subconscious of amnesia victims.
No, I refuse.
The possession of Professor Hardy's formula, the formula of the most powerful explosive ever known, is vital to our country. Your country, Dr. Waldeck. If you refuse, you are an enemy of your people.
I am a man of science. My nationality was an accident of birth.
You are a traitor.
In your eyes, perhaps. Just as in mine, you are a common thief.
Hold your tongue.
They cheat.
Do as you're told.
And they coward.
Come on. The whip. We'll see who is a coward.
Yes.
Mr. Rick, you didn't touch him. What's the matter with you? Why did you throw the whip away?
Something touched me. Knocked the whip from my hand.
You're crazy. You dropped it. Get it.
No, I swear. Something knocked it from my hand.
Pick up that whip, I say. Pick it up.
But, Mr. Richter, the whip, it moves. It moves like a living thing. Like a snake.
That is it, Dr. Waldeck. Trying to save yourself by fogging Ivan's mind. Making him see by hypnotic trance. Whips move like snakes, sir. Well, I'll show you. I can use a whip, too. Say where you are, Doctor. Or do you think you can stop me pulling the trigger of this gun?
Your servant is not imagining things, Victor. He is not seeing things which have not happened. He is not hypnotized.
Something knocked the whip from my hand. I swear.
Did you hear that? Laughter. Like the laughter of Satan. Somebody.
Yes, you heard.
You heard it too. You heard it.
Yes, your master heard it.
Ah, the shadow. You heard my appeal. You have come.
The shadow.
Then it is possible. Telepathic communication between two minds far removed
without mutual concentration of thought.
Yes, Dr. Waldeck, a theory is being proved, but a fact remains.
Is this another of your psychic tricks, Doctor?
Richter, surely your activities in espionage have brought you in contact with those who have warned you against the shadow.
The shadow? So you are the shadow? Waldeck got word to you, did he?
Yes, but in a manner beyond your comprehension.
Come on, get out quick. Close the iron door. Don't open it again until I order it.
Yes, then I'll open it.
Your gun is trembling, Richter. Dr. Waldeck was right. You are a coward.
At least I don't hide in shadows. So, you've come to save Dr. Waldeck.
I came here in answer to his call for help, but now that I'm here...
Now that you're here, Shadow, you will remain. You have walked into a trap. A trap that will hold you until I am ready to deal with you in my own way. You and Waldeck and Professor Hardy there. You, Shadow, may even be useful in the event that the good doctor fails me.
Hello? Hello?
Captain, Richter speaking.
Yes, sir.
Order your crew to the post. Cut off. We sail at once.
But it is not 6 o'clock, sir.
Obey my orders. We sail at once.
Yes, sir. As you command.
There. Open the door. Don't waste your time in trying to get out of this hole here. Even you cannot walk through steel doors, Shadow. In a few hours, we will be at sea, and you'll be beyond help. As for you, Dr. Waldeck, I advise you to enlist the aid of the Shadow in securing Professor Hardy's secret, if you value your life. Yes? Come in.
You're getting underway, Mr. Richter. Are there any further orders?
Yes, Captain. As soon as we are at sea, I want half a dozen of your best men. Arm them with rifles and revolvers. Have them report here to me.
Yes, sir.
Why are we leaving so early? Oh, good morning, Captain.
Oh, Countess. Beg your pardon, but have you been in your cabin?
I haven't left it until now. Why?
Why do you ask? What's wrong? Don't speak up, man.
A young woman was seen coming on board just before we cast off, sir.
What? Are you sure?
Yes, sir. My second mate mentioned it, but thought it was Countess Zara.
Couldn't have been.
Captain, take every member of your crew you can get. Search the ship. Find that woman and bring her here.
Yes, sir. We will find her if she is aboard.
Margot Lane. Notify police and Coast Guard. Notify police and Coast Guard. Professor John Hardin, Dr. Waldeck, prisoners in hold of Star of Zealand. Aboard Star of Zealand, proceeding to sea. Proceeding to sea. Repeat message. Margot Lane. Repeat message. Margot, repeat. Why don't you answer? Why don't you answer?
Was that you talking, Shadow?
Yes. Calling my assistant for help on my portable radio, but something's wrong. I can't get an answer.
I am profoundly sorry for the situation which we find ourselves. Had I been able to communicate to you the exact nature of my difficulties, you would have been prepared.
I am prepared, Doctor. This ship will never pass beyond the 3-mile limit. It will be stopped search.
But how?
I'm going to use this radio again. Star of Zealand calling the Coast Guard. Star of Zealand calling the Coast Guard. Go ahead, Star of Zealand. Go ahead. Professor John Hardy, missing scientist, wanted by the Secret Service, prisoner firing aboard Star of Zealand. Proceeding down bay, stop and search, prepared for armed resistance. That is all. Okay, Star of Zealand. A Coast Guard cutter will investigate immediately.
You are indeed prepared, Shadow. But do not underestimate the cunning of Richter. At the first sign of danger, he will attempt to dispose of Professor Hardy and myself and you.
We must be prepared for that. Professor Hardy's mind completely gone?
No. For the past 24 hours, I have been treating him. Have induced hypnotic sleep. He should be nearly rational now.
Then awaken him. No time to lose.
Very well. Professor Hardy. Come, Professor Hardy. It is time to awaken.
Margot, I am
on the ship. I call you and receive no reply. When the ship sailed ahead of schedule, I was sure something gone wrong. Someone must have seen me coming aboard. They're searching the ship.
You're a godsend, Margot, but nothing they found on the ship. A Coast Guard cutter's on the way. You've got to get off before they arrive.
Don't worry about me. We're passing down the channel. It's only a couple of 100 yards to shore. Why, Dr. Waldeck is here. He was aboard.
But who's that other man?
Professor John Hardy. But quick, Margo, get off the ship. You've done more than enough just opening the steel door.
All right, Shadow. Don't worry, I can swim 10 times that distance. There's a cargo door open on the port side.
Guy, far out, Margo. Margo, be careful of the suction of the propellers.
Good luck.
Come, Professor Hardy. Come, Professor Hardy.
Thank you. Thank you, Doctor. But, what has happened? Where is this Richter?
We are still on the ship, but help is coming. He is very weak, Shadow. Shadow, the door, it is open, but how?
The door, it is open. They have escaped.
Doctor, get back behind the door, out of sight.
Hey, that girl, she opened it. But they can't get off the ship. They can't be far from here.
Maybe they hide. Maybe.
Ivan, you fool. Why did you close that door?
Well, I did not touch it.
Now, Richter, if you have walked into a trap.
So, you didn't have time to get away, Shadow.
Mr. Richter, the doctors, the professors, they are here.
Yes, so you like to have what you Americans call the showdown. Very well, you shall have it after I communicate with my captain. Captain! Captain!
Yes, sir.
Quick! Your men who are searching the ship, send them to this hold at once.
Immediately, sir.
Now, Shadow, we shall deal with you. Ivan, watch the good doctor and the professor. Their turn will come when we have finished with this Shadow once and for all.
You are too late, Richter. Listen.
Yes. So, the river police. Well, let them come. Before they can board us, there will be no trace of any of you.
Perhaps your captain is not so sure. He's calling you over the speaking tube.
Sure. Hello, hello.
Coast Guard cutter off our port bow, sir. She has radioed us to halt for search.
Order full speed ahead and get your men down here.
But quick. We are not beyond the 3-mile limit.
Carry out my orders. Full speed ahead.
Yes, sir.
Desperate measures, but they will fail, Richter. They will fail. That was a blank, a warning. Our captain is being sensible. He stopped the engine.
Let them come. Let them search the ship. They'll find nothing. Nothing. Because I'm going to shoot you. They'll never think to look for bodies in the ballast tanks. My gun!
No. No, Richter. You're not going to add murder to your list of crimes.
Ivan, quick! I got hold of the Shadow here. Take my gun. It's on the floor. The Shadow's here between me and the wall. Shoot him!
No. No. Oh, there is nothing there. I see nothing.
Shoot him!
You are mad.
Shoot him!
Mad, I know.
Dr. Waldeck, the gun. Pick it up.
Yeah. Put up your hands, Victor.
No, you don't. You'll never turn me over to the police.
Sorry, I haven't arrested so hard, Dr. Waldeck. The Coast Guard won't meet much resistance when they arrest him. You are a witness to what has happened here. Listen, Doctor.
The Coast Guard.
Yes, they are coming aboard. You are safe now, Dr. Waldeck. Your faith in the power of the mind saved you and Professor Hardy, helped him keep the secret. Perhaps at some future time, under more favorable circumstances, we shall meet again.
You have been listening to a dramatized version of one of the many copyrighted stories which appear in the Shadow magazine.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
All the characters and all the places named are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
You know, Lisa, this is a series that I would love to redo today. You know, like how I did the Twilight Zone radio dramas? I would love to get all the scripts of the Shadow. Of course, I'd have to license it from the owners. It's owned by a big corporation. But to get the rights to take this show and do it today with actors with a great star, you know, as the lead, you know, I think it would be terrific.
Well, if anybody can do it, I would think that you'd be the one.
Would you want to play Margot Lane with a T at the end of Margot?
No, there's no T at the end of Margot. So.
David Jennings says that he looked at Wikipedia and that there is no T at the end of Margot. However, I'm going to disagree.
You know who has a T at the end of Margot is Anne Frank's sister in the Diary of Anne Frank, Margot.
Yeah.
She has a T, but I'm pretty sure there's no T in Margot.
So here's the thing with this Margot T or no T. I believe that in the pulp novels by Walter B. Gibson, who created The Shadow, there was a T.
Well, either way, it sounds the same on the radio.
Remember the movie Mr. T and the Women? That was, remember that movie? I think there's a T. David is saying no T. You're saying no T. I'll have coffee then if there's
Perfect.
No T. Okay? How's that?
I did it.
All right, that was The Shadow with the Power of the Mind from April 24th, 1938. Orson Welles starring along with Margot Stevenson. Here's another reason why I think there's a T in the Margot. Because Margot Stevenson, who the character Margot Lane was created after.
Right, has a T.
Has a T.
Right.
So, you know, T for two.
Still no T.
And two for T.
Still no T.
All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, it's only $1, Lisa, to join the Classic Radio Club.
You have a dollar?
Do you have a dollar?
I do have a dollar.
You don't carry any money with you.
I have a dollar.
All right, so here's the deal, folks. If you would like to experience the Classic Radio Club, you can do it for a dollar. The first month is only $1. And you'll get 5 CDs with 10 classic radio shows. This is a $40 product for a dollar. You have to pay the shipping and handling of $4.99, but the CDs with 10 classic radio shows and the copious liner notes of every episode. I'm talking about Abbott and Costello with the Who's On First, Suspense, Jack Benny, Gunsmoke, Have Gun Will Travel, Fibber McGee and Molly. You get 10 classic radio shows on 5 CDs, $1 when you join the Classic Radio Club. Now, you can cancel at any time. Just go to classicradioclub.com. That's the website. But if you want to even save the $4.99 shipping and handling, join the digital program. So you get the same 10 shows. They're digitally emailed to you. You can listen to them on any listening device. There's also a PDF of the liner notes. That's only $1. You get 10 shows. So learn all about it at classicradioclub.com. Right, Lisa?
Yeah, and I wanted to clarify, when you say join the club, what that means is once a month you will get a delivery either via CD or digital download of more classic radio shows. And every month it will be a unique set of classic radio shows.
Yeah, so totally different
every
set.
Every month, once a month, you'll get a delivery of classic radio shows. But all that is explained, like you said, at classicradioclub.com.
Yeah, and experience it for the first month, only a dollar.
I've got a dollar.
And you know what? As I say, you can cancel at any time if you're not, loving. I mean, if you're absolutely not loving being a member of the Classic Radio Club, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, then cancel.
Well, I have a dollar.
Right. Well, for the first month, it's a dollar. It is more, of course, other months, because at a dollar, we go out of business. But we want people to experience it, you know? All right, that's classicradioclub.com. In our next hour, we're going to tune in to my friend Irma from 1947, Marie Wilson, the star of that. Then after that, Inner Sanctum Mystery.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Now, I'm seeing a lot of commercials here for mayoral candidates, and I am, I think, ready to be the mayor of Chicago.
I thought you were going to tell me who you're voting for, but you don't vote for a Chicago candidate.
Well, I will move. If I think I could get enough votes to be the mayor,
mm-hmm.
I'm moving to Chicago.
All right. Well, you better hurry up. Because,
I would crack
get
down.
In the game
Let me
here.
Tell you something. I'd crack some eggs
Good,
in this town.
I bet you would.
If I was mayor. look out.
I'm
just telling you right
now.
I would be scared out if I was mayor. I would be 100%, not 100%, 110% behind the police.
You know what, Carl?
I would be behind the police because I'd want them in front of me.
You know what they say? They say, yeah, or get off the pot. You know that saying? So do it or get off the pot.
The police, they have the hardest job in the city. You
I
know
agree
that?
With
the
you.
Hardest job.
A very
the police
scary,
department
dangerous job.
Has the hardest job, and they're not appreciated enough.
If I
was mayor,
you.
I would appreciate the police.
Well, that amongst a lot of other things need
right
to
now.
Be done around
they,
here.
You want to talk about a tough job?
Yep.
That's a tough job.
Yep.
Police, Chicago Police Department.
Any police department's
I
a tough job.
I give them so much credit. So much credit. Anyway, and the fire department, too. I mean, yep. You know, all of the people that are first responders, I mean, amazing, amazing work. Love you guys out there. All right, so in this hour, we have my friend Irma from 1947. You're going to love that. In the next hour, it's Inner Sanctum Mysteries. But right now, it's time to play our game. Is it real or is it ridiculous? Sponsored by Cat's Pride.
Yes, the celebrity is Julia Roberts.
Yes, a lovely lady.
She is. I just saw an interview.
She's got the best smile.
She does have a great smile. I just saw an interview. I think it was on the Today Show. It was a 25-year reunion of Pretty Woman.
Oh, yeah.
So Richard
that was 25 years ago.
25 years ago. So
well, she's still pretty. She's still a pretty
very
woman.
Well.
Yeah,
she's still a pretty woman.
What caller would you
We're
like?
We're going to go with caller 3, and the prize is the Never Measure.
All right, call right now. 312-981-7200. Caller 3. We'll play the game right after these words. All right. So, you know what? Don't forget, Lisa, Woodman's.
Woodman's, I know. Woodman's.
Take a picture of your Woodman's receipt, folks, and email it to us at Woodman's, WGN, at gmail.com, and then I'll send you 12 classic radio shows via digital download. All of our Woodman's shoppers are entitled to receive these 12 classic radio shows. Shop at Woodman's, take a picture of it, email it to us, Woodman's, WGN, at gmail.com. You'll get 12 classic radio shows. Come on, baby, let's get
ridiculous. We're going to play a little Real or Ridiculous with Steve. Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm just enjoying the program.
Good. We're enjoying the program, too. Glad you got through. And we're going to do a little Julia Roberts. You ready to go?
Sure.
Okie doke. Number one, she turned down the female lead in Shakespeare in Love. Is that real or ridiculous?
That's real.
Huh? Yeah, I'm gonna go with Steve on that.
Good idea. That is real.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And who did it go to?
I don't know.
That was Gwyneth Paltrow.
Did oh okay.
Didn't see that movie.
No.
All right. Number two. She has been named.
I don't watch anything.
I knew you would know that one
with the title Shakespeare.
Anything
in
with love in it, I figured.
Or love.
That's completely
it's like
wrong.
Both
for
of
you.
Those are completely
There's
wrong.
There's nothing
for me.
Good here for you. Number two. She has been named People Magazine's World's Most Beautiful Women for a record of 5 times.
What do you think, Steve?
That's
I don't know.
Real?
That's real? I don't think 5 times.
No, all right.
I'm going to say ridiculous.
You should listen to your callers.
Oh, gosh.
It is absolutely true.
Man, way
real,
to go,
Steve. Real, real. He knows his stuff.
Man.
Number three, she always dreamed of becoming a firefighter. Is that real or ridiculous?
Wow.
Coin toss there. I'm going with ridiculous.
Okay.
I'm going to say real.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, Steve got all three of them right. Our listeners were the smartest listeners in all of radio.
That I
way
made
to go,
up.
Steve.
You did a great job, Steve. You are a winner. You'd win either way, but you have won the wonderful prize of a Never Measure. You can easily center, level, and hang your wall decorations fast. No need to use a measuring tape or calculate fractions. I have one. I love it. It is veteran-owned, made in the USA. Get yours at NeverMeasure.com. You will love this prize. So glad that you won. Thank you so much for playing.
All right, does Carl have one yet?
No,
he's not getting one.
I have no pull.
I just wanted to ask.
Steve, I have absolutely no pull at this radio station.
Mine is for sale.
Yeah, but she wants right, three times the regular amount.
At least.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Steve.
Take care.
Yeah.
All right, Steve is a big winner, and so are our listeners, because it's time for My Friend Irma. This was a situation comedy series, Lisa, set in Manhattan, came to radio in 1947, had a very nice run all the way to 1954. There were movies and a TV show. Now, Marie Wilson, beautiful actress. She played Irma Peterson, sort of a dim-witted blonde stenographer. Kathy Lewis played her roommate, Jane Stacy. And Kathy Lewis, as Jane Stacy, was kind of the level-headed one of the two.
That would be me.
Yeah. Irma's boyfriend was Al. He was played by John Brown. He was kind of a deadbeat. And Jane's boyfriend was millionaire banker Richard Rhinelander, played by Leif Erickson. The series was created by Cy Howard. He also created the Life with Luigi series, which is my mom's favorite radio show of all time. So it's time now for My Friend Irma from December 15th, 1947. This is called Dancing Fools. Here's part one of My Friend Irma.
Lieber Brothers Company, makers of Swan, the soap that gives you a wonderful new kind of suds, presents...
Our friend, Swan,
with My Friend, Irma.
Starring Marie Wilson as Irma and Kathy Lewis as Jane.
Friendship, friendship, just a perfect friendship when other friendships have been forgot. Theirs will still be hot.
Stacy, and I live with Irma Peterson. You know, they say that we begin to acquire knowledge from the moment we first see the light of day. And I know it's true, because Irma's always going around singing, I am waiting for the sunrise. Now, don't jump at conclusions, because I love Irma Peterson, but it's so hard to make her understand things. For instance, the other night we were discussing names, and I mentioned that Johnson means son of John, and Michelson means son of Michael, and Irma Peterson said...
Gee, then I must be Irma, son of Peter.
Well, those things you just don't fight. Especially this lovely Sunday morning when the thoughts of the wonderful time that I had last night are still fresh in my memory. Irma.
Yes, Jane?
I'm so sorry you weren't with us last night. Richard took me to the starlight roof of the Waldorf. We rumbled all evening. It was just heavenly.
I had a date with Al.
Yeah, I know. What did you do?
Well, Al walked me down Broadway and let me read the news bulletins on the Times building.
Naturally. What else?
And then, you know, the bus that goes to Chinatown?
Yes.
Al showed me the bus.
Ah, it's a reckless plunger if ever I saw one. What else did you do?
Well, then we ran out of money. So we went to the park. We went to the park and sat on the bench.
I see.
You know, the poor have fun, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, Irma, but honey, how can you let that no-good loafer see you Saturday after Saturday without ever spending a nickel on you?
What can I do?
Well, at least if you could get him to dance, you and Al could go out with Richard and me. I'd love a double day.
But Jane, Al dances.
Irma, I have seen Al dance with you. And when he swings his legs, it can only be described as the try for the extra point after a touchdown. On a slippery field with a wet ball.
Well, it's the only step he knows. He said he learned it running between railroad ties.
Well, I don't care what he says, Irma. It's up to you to make Al toe the mark.
What do you mean?
Well, today, any half-civilized man can dance the rumba. You know how. Why don't you teach him?
Well, Jane, I'd love to make him half civilized, but he's against it.
Well, then I have nothing more to say, and you deserve everything you get. Hello?
Hello, Jane. This is Richard.
How's my favorite boss today?
Oh, swell, dear. Say, Jane, keep tomorrow night free.
Yeah?
I'm expecting Mr. and Mrs. Delbert Watkins of Chicago. He's an important client, and I want you to help me entertain them. You know, dinner, dancing.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, it would be nice if we had another couple along so it wouldn't look so much like business. Do you know anyone we might invite?
Well, there's Irma and... Oh, you said dancing.
Yes, I see what you mean. I remember Al's dancing. Thought he was trying to impersonate a wounded grasshopper.
Well, why don't you call back later, Richard? I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
Bye, Richard.
Bye.
There, now, you see, Irma, Richard would love to have you and Al along tomorrow night. Honey, now, this is your chance. Al's coming here. Why don't you spend the afternoon teaching him a simple rumba step?
Oh, it's no use. Al would get tired, and second thing you know, we'll be back on the sofa where he wanted to be in the first place.
Oh, Irma, I can't understand you. You like to dance, don't you?
Oh, certainly. Why, I once won a cup in Minnesota dancing the rumba with Harvey Connors.
I only wish he was here now.
Oh, he is.
You mean in New York?
Yes, and he's very successful. He lives at the YMCA.
Well, honey, now that's enough for me. You're going to phone him.
Oh, no, Jane, please. I couldn't go out with another fella. That would be going behind Al's back, and then I couldn't face him.
Oh. Don't be such a martyr, Irma. You're young, sweetie, and you're pretty. Be fair to yourself. Now, how long have you known Al?
5 years.
And what has he spent on you in that time?
5 years.
And you're worried about him. You know, it just burns me up. I never heard of a man so against dancing. Come in.
It's only me, Professor Kravatkin. Hello, Janie and Irma, my two little bottle openers. One straight and one screwy.
Why, Professor?
Excuse me, a little joke I picked up in the hardware store.
Professor, you can help me prove a point with Irma. I maintain that every man dances. Do you?
By me, it's a must.
You see, Irma?
Well, where do you dance, Professor?
In my room. Heaters broke, fireplace don't work, got to dance to keep warm. Why, what's the argument?
Oh, there's no argument. I'll be back, honey.
Oh, Jane, you're not going to call Harvey Connors.
Well, if Al won't take you dancing, Harvey might. Now, I'm not going to let you sit home. Goodbye, honey.
Irma, what's the matter?
Oh, Professor, if you were a girl and your boyfriend couldn't dance and you had a chance to go out, would you take it like a man if you were a girl?
I'd like to give you a straightforward answer if you could only straighten out the question.
Jane's going to invite my old boyfriend, Harvey, to take me dancing, and... Well, that would be two-timing Al. I love Al. What shall I do?
Uh-huh. Well, Irma, there is an old saying.
Well, what is it?
A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
But how does that apply to me?
It doesn't. This is a saying for bird lovers. But you ask a foolish question, you get a foolish answer.
Oh, Professor, I don't know what to do. If I break up with Al, he'll simply go out of his mind.
Then it will really be a shame. Two people so compatible should be apart.
Oh, see who it is, Professor. If it's Al, and I say, come in, Harvey, Harvey won't come in.
We take no chances. Welcome, stranger.
Stranger? It's me, Al. Hello, Professor. Hiya, Jacob.
Hello, Al, honey. Why do you look so tired?
Can't sleep. That factory across the street is driving me crazy.
Well, why don't you go to bed early?
I do, chicken, but that noon whistle wakes me up every morning.
Speaking of factories, I think I'll go back to my room and punch in.
Punch in?
Yeah, the door is stuck. Well, as they say in English, pip pip. What a language.
Glad of this chance to be alone with you because I want to talk to you.
Sure, chicken. What about?
Well, if I said it was for my sake, would you learn the rumba?
The rumba? Baby, that's for sissies. The Park Avenue crowd go for it because they got nothing else to do. And having nothing else to do, they get nervous and start to shake. First thing you know, they meet another of their kind who is also shaking. Put them together, you got a rumba.
Oh, Al, you're so selfish. All you want to do is sit here on the sofa when we could be dancing.
Selfish? Chicken, what I'm doing is for the good of my fellow man. Let me ask you, how many guys in an orchestra?
I don't know. About 15, I guess.
You know how many guys are employed in a sofa factory? 10,000. Should I put 10,000 guys out of a job just to keep 15 working?
Oh, Al, but we'd have so much fun together.
Chicken, what's in back of all this?
Well, if you would let me teach you the rumba this afternoon, we could go out with Jane and Richard and the Watkins tomorrow night.
Sorry, Irma, not interested. No rumba for me. I'm not one of them guys who has to keep bouncing up and down because he ain't got the nerve to look a dame in the eye.
All right, Al, but don't blame me for what might happen.
What are you talking about?
Well, Al, you're not the only pebble in the sea, and there are plenty of fish on the beach.
Now, look, chicken, just because I won't rumba, don't threaten me. You're a sweet kid, but take it from me, guys are very scarce nowadays. Before you find another guy, it might be a long, long time.
Who is it?
It's me, Harvey Connors.
My, how time flies.
Who's that, chicken?
Oh, Al, it's not my fault. You see, Jane said that...
Don't blame Jane. I'll find out for myself. Come in.
Hello, Irma. Gosh, it's been a long time.
Yes, Harvey. I want you to meet Al. Al, this is Harvey.
Hello, Al. It's nice to know you.
Gee, Harvey, you haven't changed a bit.
Neither have you, except you're much prettier.
Harvey, do you ever hear from any of the folks back home?
Just one. Remember Tommy Clark?
Tommy Clark? Oh, certainly. He was the first fellow I ever kissed. Gee, how he could kiss.
Yeah, nice guy. He's a glass blower now.
If I'm not intruding, Bud, why don't you get lost?
Lost? Well, Irma's roommate, Miss Stacy, said something about Irma wanting to go to a dance tomorrow night. That's why I dropped around.
Well, kid, change of plans. Sorry you got to rush along, but keep in touch. If anything turns up, we'll call you. Don't bother to write.
Oh, wait a minute, Al. Harvey's an old friend. We won a rumba contest together in Minnesota, didn't we, Harvey?
Yes, it's been a long time since I danced with you. Shall we dust off the old insteps and give it a whirl?
Hold up there.
What's wrong, Al?
No girlfriend of mine is going to dance with no fast-talking city slicker.
Now, just a minute.
Please,
there.
Al, now don't make a scene.
Hi, everybody. Hey, what's going on?
Oh, Jane, isn't it terrible? They're fighting over me.
They're fighting? Who? Oh, this must be Harvey. Huh?
How do you do?
Time to get out, Jane.
Now, wait a minute, Al. Irma is entitled to some pleasure, and if you don't give it to her, she'll get it elsewhere.
Oh, yeah? Well, not with this guy.
And how are you going to prevent it?
Well, I'll...
Say it, Al.
I'll learn the rumba.
Oh, Al, thanks. I'm sorry, Harvey, but thanks for volunteering.
Oh, perfectly all right, Irma. To tell you the truth, I'm glad it turned out this way. You see, this is the same suit I wore when we won the rumba contest, and it's a little tight on me. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye, Harvey.
Well, Al, I'm glad to see that you're such a good sport.
Yeah, well, don't rub it in. I'm going to let Irma teach me today, and I'll learn to rumba so good, she'll think she's dancing with Arthur Murray.
Don't be silly, Al. If I wouldn't go out dancing with Harvey, I'm certainly not going to dance with someone else.
All right, that's the first portion of My Friend Irma from December 15th, 1947. Dancing Fools, starring Marie Wilson. We'll get back to that in just a few minutes.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Roger. Drivers on their cell phones is a serious problem on our roadways, whether you're talking or texting. Cellular use. Huh?
It sounded like cellular use
is a major distraction. Please be responsible. Put your phone down while driving. This message courtesy of J&R Hauling in Janesville. For all of your freight hauling needs, give the area's best experts at J&R Hauling a call at 608-208-0797. That's 608-208-0797. That's J&R Hauling on the air. Because they care. All right, we're listening to My Friend Irma. This is a very funny series, Lisa. Marie Wilson was perfect in this part. You know, she was in the movies with this part. And actually, this movie, the My Friend Irma movie, was the very first movie that featured Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. They were in this movie kind of supporting characters, and then Hal Wallace saw them in the movie and were like, you know what, these guys, they have a radio show, they're doing pretty good on the radio, these guys make a great team in the movies.
I think that should happen to us, just like that.
I'd do a movie with you.
I would do a movie with anyone.
Anybody out there want to produce a movie, and Lisa and I we could be supporting actors in it. We don't have to be the leads right away.
No.
Maybe like the second movie we'd be the leads.
No, this is a little more relaxing, I think. We'll do our thing. You're not good at memorizing, so let's go with supporting.
I'm terrible at memorizing. Absolutely terrible at it. But, you know, if they sort of spoon feed me the you know, a little bit
like
at a time.
One word at a time.
Like if the scene wasn't that long, it was like maybe like 30 seconds, I could probably figure it out.
Right.
But I'm not good at memorizing.
I know, that's
why. Are you good at memorizing?
I used to be really good at that, but you know, you get older and it gets more difficult.
You know, I started out in this business as an actor.
I know.
I had, you know, when I was like 18, 19 years old, I was doing TV commercials. And then I started doing movies. I was in a bunch of movies. I was on probably maybe a dozen movies. But I was much better at memorizing back then.
Well,
not
you know
so
what? You would do it if you had to do it.
I guess.
If you knew you had a great part in a great movie, you'd do what you have to do.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So anyone out there, any producers out there, they want Lisa and I in our movie.
We're for hire.
We are. We work cheap, though.
Speak for yourself.
We want to be paid a little bit, and it has to have good craft services. It's a big part of our whole thing. We like to eat. So,
well, again, speak for yourself.
There would have to be,
I'll just take the money. I don't care about
the food. I don't want just like cookies. And like, you
and
know,
I'm okay with just cookies.
Like cookies and like stuff like that.
Just order a pizza. We'll be happy.
I want some good chow if I'm going to do the.
Yeah, I don't care about that. Just the money.
All right. So we have obviously differences in our working
payment. In our needs and desires.
Yeah, we both want to be in the movie.
Right.
But I want good food.
And I just want to get paid.
All right.
I don't
care. Sounds good.
Okay.
All right. Let's get back now to my friend Irma.
Been set for Al's first rumba lesson. The carpet's been rolled up, the furniture's been pushed back, and the phonograph is poised for the opening gong. In this corner, Irma Peterson, 115 pounds and ready for action. In that corner, Al, 165 pounds and ready to jump out of the window. Frankly, I've never seen Irma so happy. I just can't get over the radiant look on her face. Her expression is that of a mother who is about to see her child take his first step. I have a feeling that Al doesn't want to come to Mama. Irma?
Yes, Jane?
Change the needle in the phonograph. It's all ready.
Thanks. Are you ready, Al?
Well, look, chicken, I know I promised, but why should I learn the rumba when I got a whole mess of Charleston steps I've never even used yet?
Oh, come on, Al. Be a good sport. I'm anxious to see how you do, because I want to phone Richard if you're joining us. Come on.
We'll show you. Come on, Al.
I feel like I'm going to the dentist.
Now, Al, first I want you to get to know the rhythm of the rumba music when you hear it. Start the music, Jane.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. The wrong record.
You want me to dance or salute?
Oh, gee. I'm sorry, Al. Here it is. It's a wonderful rumba. Sibonet.
Oh, hold it just a minute, Jane. I want to show Al the correct position for the rumba. Now, Al, take my hand. Oh, no, not so close. Stand back. That's it.
Chicken, if we're going to stand this far apart, there's no point in dancing with you. I can just call you up on the phone.
No, Al, that's correct.
Well, it might be correct, but it ain't fun.
Now, come on, kids. Here goes the music.
All right, now I'll lead you, Al. Ready? One, two, three, step. One, two, three, step. No, no, Al.
What's wrong?
Well, when you dance a rumba, you're not supposed to move the head, the shoulders, or hips. Just the feet and the knees. Understand?
Okay, but do you mind if the rest of me comes along just for the ride?
Go ahead, Al. Now, come on. Try it again, Al.
One, two, three, step. One, two, three, step. No, no, Al, honey.
What didn't I do now?
When you do the rumba, you don't jump around. You stay in one place.
Can't dance that way, chicken. Got to keep moving.
Why?
The joints I go to, my pockets will be picked in the first aid bar. Oh, chicken, I want to make you happy, but I just wasn't cut out for this sissy stuff.
Oh, don't say that, Al. You're graceful.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, certainly. And don't forget, you haven't got a career yet. You could become a great dancer.
Well, never thought of it that way.
Sure, maybe we could become a team. Call ourselves Al and Irma, those dancing fools.
Kind of corny, chicken.
But descriptive.
Or maybe Al and Irma, a boy and a girl, four legs, that's all.
Oh, my.
Al, are you going to dance?
Try it once more. Let's go.
Step, 1, 2, 3, step. Oh, no, no, Al.
What do I get a ticket for now?
Well, you keep shaking your head. Pretend there's a plate of spaghetti on your head and you don't want to spill it. Keep your head erect.
Gotcha. Let's go.
1, 2, 3, step. 1, 2, 3, step. Oh, Al, what are you doing?
Sorry, chicken. Can't concentrate. Getting hungry. Keep thinking of that spaghetti on my head.
Oh, Jane, what's the use? You and Richard better go out with the Watkins alone. I'm in love with the wallflower.
Oh, don't say that, chicken. I tried. It's just one of them things. Some guys is born for the rumba, some guys is born for the sofa.
Now, listen, Al, you promised Irma. You made her send Harvey home, and you're going to learn if you stay here all afternoon. Let me try leading you.
I'm game.
Start the music, will you, honey? And listen, Al, I'm not Jolson, and you're not Sonny Boy, so stay off my knees.
We'll make a definite effort.
Thank you. 1, 2, 3, step. 1, 2, 3, murder!
Sorry, Jane, didn't mean to kick your ankle.
No? What were you aiming at? All right, let's try it again. 1, 2, 3, step. 1, 2, 3, step. 1, 2, 3, mother.
Yeah, I thought I did pretty good there.
Yes, you did, at mountain climbing.
Oh, we better quit.
No, you don't, Al. Between Irma and me, you're going to learn this rumba if it kills you. Now, come on. 1, 2, 3, step. Come on.
1, 2, 3,
do
step.
It. 1, 2, that's
one, two,
right. Come
three,
on,
step.
Al. Come on.
1, 2, 3, step. Well, girls, how'd I do? Well, Irma, say something. Jane, speak. Well, the two of you are just going to lie on the floor like that. I'll sit down.
Jane, do you want some water?
No. See if you can get plasma.
Oh, now, cut the kidding, Jane. I wasn't that bad.
No? Well, let me tell you.
Come in.
Hello, Emma. How are you, Jane?
Oh, hello, Richard. I was just going to call you.
Say, what happened to this room? Looks like the super chief's been through here.
No, we were teaching Al a rumba.
We're waiting for our battle stars.
Jane, I don't know what to do about tomorrow night. Watkins just wired, and he and his wife would like to see the floor show at Bowery Sam's, and I can't get a reservation.
Bowery Sam? Shouldn't be hard to fix.
Well, Al, if there's any way in the world you can swing it, I'd be most appreciative. Now, Watkins' wife is a little eccentric, but he's a big client, and you know what that means.
See what I can do. Only one man who can help us.
Who, Al?
Who else but... Hello, Joe. Al, got a problem. Huh? Why am I out of breath? Was learning the rumba. Yeah, it's a dance. You know, like Bellows and Yolanda? Huh? No, they was never with Notre Dame. Joe would like to get reservations for a few friends at Bowery Sam's. What's the dope? Uh-huh. 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 Mm-hmm. Now, hold it, Joe. No use, folks.
What's wrong?
The only way I can get you in is if you're my guests.
Well, Al, that's wonderful.
Oh, no, chicken. Bowery Sam's a classy place. No use me going. Jane would be embarrassed. I can't rumba.
Who says you can?
You did.
Oh, Al,
I was just kidding you.
Oh, yeah? How about when I kicked you in the ankles?
Well, that's the latest step, Al. They're doing that all over Bolivia. Is that right, Richard?
Yes, yes, and parts of the Argentine.
I saw it way over in Jersey.
You're not kidding me.
Of course not, Al.
Well, I knew I had talent, but I didn't think it worked so fast. Okay, I'll fix it up right now. Hello, Joe. Al, coming over with party of six tomorrow night. Huh? No, you don't have to worry. Somebody in the crowd will pay. Goodbye, Joe. Well, it's all set. Now, look, Richard, I want this understood. If I go along, I want to pay my own way.
Oh, no, I wouldn't think of it.
Okay. Come on, Irma, sit with me down the corner while I get my shoes shined. Want to look good tomorrow night.
But, Al, why don't you wait until tomorrow night to have them shined?
Got the dime in the shoes now. Don't know what the future will bring.
All right, goodbye, Jane and Richard.
Bye.
Bye, kids.
Jane, do you think we were right in kidding Al into believing he could do the rumba? You know, that Bolivian step?
Oh, it can't do any harm, dear. And what's most important, it'll give Irma a chance to have a good time. She's been home so much.
All right, just as long as it can't do any harm.
Got to Bowery Sam's, but not before I almost had a nervous breakdown. Irma couldn't decide what dress to wear, and she finally chose an evening gown with a neckline so low, I'm sure the dressmaker had to stand in the hole to sew it. Al? Well, Al looked rather natty in a rented tuxedo. Took Richard and me quite a time to convince him that he'd look just as sporty without wearing black and white shoes. Of course, I told Al and Irma to be on their very best behavior because we don't want to do anything that would embarrass Richard and his guests, the Watkins. Well, anyway, Mr. Watkins is seated at my right. We're all at a ringside table. Mr. Watkins?
Yes, Miss Stacy.
I see you like champagne.
Indeed. How about you, Miss Peterson?
Gets up my nose and tickles me.
Oh, Mrs. Watkins is very charming, Dell.
Well, thank you, Richard. Before she comes back from the powder room, I'd like to tell you that she's just come out of the hospital.
Oh, dear, how unfortunate.
Well, between us, I think it's purely imaginary. Helen is sure that she has a stomach ailment. If I can only get her mind off it, I might start to enjoy life. Shh, here she comes.
Well, here I am again.
Say, that's a rumba. You care to rum, Mrs. Watkins?
Al!
Well, I haven't danced in quite a while. You don't do too many fancy steps.
No, I do the Bolivian rumba. Come on, Mrs. Watkins.
Oh, Jane, isn't it wonderful? This will give Al confidence.
This will really give her a reason to go to the hospital. Oh, Richard, what'll we do?
I warned you.
Oh, don't worry, Jane. Look at Mr. Watkins. He's not nervous.
No? Then why is he putting ketchup in his champagne? Irma, I can't look. I just can't look. What is Al doing now?
I think it's a fancy step. No, he tripped her.
Is she hurt?
I don't know. She's not up yet. Oh, look. Now he's lifting her and spinning her. Jane, is that also done in Bolivia?
Only in the unexplored part. Richard, I'm so sorry, honestly.
Oh, Jane, they're coming off the floor.
Is she still walking?
Yes.
On her hands or her feet?
Well, here we are back.
Darling, you're all right?
Oh, never felt better. This sweet fool kept kicking me in the ankles so much I forgot all about my stomach.
Well, that sounds like my old Helen. Here, honey, I know you haven't had a drink of champagne in 6 months, but how about a drink?
Certainly, dear. Oh, don't bother pouring it. Just hand me the bottle.
That a girl. And Richard, about that 50,000 shares of United, double the order.
Thanks, Del.
Oh, Al. Al, my ballerina.
That was nothing. Wait till I find out what they're doing in Peru.
The bathtub half full of water and several bars of Swan soap floating in it while Irma was busy piling rocks in one end of the tub. She had me for a minute. Then finally I asked for an explanation and Irma said,
I want the swans to have a place to dry off when they're through swimming.
Oh, that Irma. She just won't make sense about Swan, except when she insists that Swan is the perfect soap for bathing. And that's good sense in anybody's language, because white floating Swan soap gives you a wonderful new kind of beauty lather to make your bath a real beauty bath. Sure, for one thing, Swan's new kind of lather is so mild, so gentle, it's kind to even the most delicate skin. And the way this new kind of beauty lather feels against your skin, so rich, so soft, such a relaxing bath. Yes, you'll really enjoy a bath with Swan, ladies, and you'll love the way your skin feels after a Swan bath, too. Because Swan rinses away so completely, there's none of that tight, over-soaked feeling. Instead, your skin is left fresh and radiant. So for a real beauty bath, try Swan's wonderful new kind of beauty lather next time, won't you?
And Bolivia, everything turned out just wonderfully. But our apartment is no longer the same. Every moment that Al and Irma are together, the phonograph is going and the joint is jumping. In fact, yesterday I said, Irma, you know, you and Al are fanatics about this rumba. Why don't the two of you ever sit on the sofa? And Irma said,
oh, Al says that's for kids. We have time for that when we grow up.
And you know, the one person who will still be a kid at 90 will be my friend, Irma.
My Friend Irma, presented by Swan, another fine product of Lever Brothers Company, was produced and directed by Cy Howard. Tonight's script was written by Cy Howard and Park Levy. Folks, next Monday evening, tune in an hour earlier over most of these same stations for the Lux Radio Theater. And then stay tuned to listen to
our friend Swan
with my friend Irma.
Starring Marie Wilson as Irma and Kathy Lewis as Jane. Hans Conried was Professor Kropotkin. Marie Wilson can soon be seen in the Eagle Lion release, Linda Be Good. Ladies, listen. The shortage of fats and oils is still very serious, and it's worldwide. So please, keep on saving every single drop of used kitchen fat. Your butcher will pay you for every pound. Frank Bingman speaking. Tune in again to My Friend Irma next Monday evening at this same time. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's My Friend Irma from December 15th, 1947, Dancing Fools. A great cast along with Marie Wilson. You had Kathy Lewis in that, John Brown, who was Al on this show, but he was also Digger O'Dell and also Gillis on The Life of Riley. He played two parts on The Life of Riley. The other part, the other role he played, Lisa, was he was Broadway on the Damon Runyon Theater. So John Brown did a lot of radio shows, and he was Al on this program. Hans Conried, who maybe he was on more shows than anybody other than maybe William Conrad. Hans Conried was just on everything. You also had Jerry Hausner on that, along with Leif Erickson. Good show. That was sponsored by Swan and Spry. I don't think either one of those are around anymore. Swan Soap?
I don't think so.
And Spry? I don't think that's around either.
Spry? No, I don't think so.
So two sponsors that are like hit the dust.
That would be an unusual name for a soap.
I should say bit the dust.
Did you say hit it?
I said hit the dust.
It's so close, though.
I meant bit the dust.
Another one bites the dust.
Another one bites the dust. Ba-da-dum, boom, 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 boom. All right, so hope you enjoyed that. My Friend Irma, let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Drivers on their cell phones is a serious problem on our roadways. Whether you're talking or texting, cellular use is a major distraction. Please be responsible. Put your phone down while driving. This message courtesy of J&R Hauling in Janesville. For all of your freight hauling needs, give the area's best experts at J&R Hauling a call at 608-208-0797. 608-208-0797. That's J&R Hauling on the air because they care. You know what I care about, Lisa?
Classic radio.
Yes, I do. I care about it very, very much.
I know you do.
100,000 classic radio shows in the library, and we play 5 shows every week. You know, last week, I talked a little bit about how am I ever going to play all these shows for our listeners. I think we need to be on a lot more hours.
So what are you going to do about that, Carlos?
I think we need to be on like 100 hours a week.
Oh, wow. Well,
100 hours.
I may have to...
That's 100 shows a week.
We may have to part ways at that point.
That's 100 shows a week. It's 5,200 shows a year. So it would take 20 years. About 20 years. We could do that.
You could.
See, 20 years? I can broadcast for 20 more years.
Yeah, but how many hours a day?
Well, 100 hours a week.
Okay.
It would take 20 years to go through all the shows.
All right.
I think we could do it.
You can.
Yeah. So if you want us to do that, folks.
right in.
Yeah, no. I think 100 hours a week might be a little much.
Might be a little much. Mm. A little over-enthusiastic.
It'd be a lot of hours. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it'd be fun. I'd like to play all those. I'd like to play 100 shows a week for our listeners.
If you could do it from home, maybe.
They could do it sleep.
While you sleep.
While
I'm
sleeping. Yeah. All right. Well, in our next hour, I am telling you, Lisa, okay? I like to tell people, I like to give them a little warning. This show that we're about to play in the next hour is one of the best mysteries of all time. It's called Song of the Slasher. It's a great episode of Inner Sanctum. One of the best from the series. You're going to really love it. 1945, Arnold Moss stars in that. Inner Sanctum. You don't want to miss it. The creaking door.
Oh, I won't miss it. I'll be right here.
Sounds like a cat.
It did. That's what I was thinking.
A cat is like this.
No, when you step on its tail.
It,
yeah, there you go.
So, no, but the creaking door is like this.
Okay, that's good.
That's like a sound you make after you had something bad to eat.
Yeah. Well, I think that was pretty good. I think that could.
You're getting close. Work on it.
A little bit better. All right, well, that's coming up in our next hour. Don't miss that.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
You know, Lisa, we always have a fun fact on our WGN Facebook page. And the fun fact was about Orson Welles and the Shadow this week. But I think we should have a fun fact on the air.
What kind of fact are you referring to?
It doesn't have to be about classic radio. It could be about anything. Like, for instance, did you know that the tip of your fingers, if you spread them out, your arms all the way from left to right, you are as tall as the tip of one tip of your finger to the other tip of your index finger.
I mean, I literally heard that when I was a kid.
Not like, your index finger, your longest finger.
Yeah, when you spread out your arms. As a child, that's what we all did. We spread out our arms and say that's how tall we are.
So if you spread your arms out.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is any new news here, though.
I'm just saying, if you didn't know that, folks. There's a fun fact. And we could have a fun fact each week. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think it needs to be maybe something that is a
pertain to the classic radio shows?
No, not necessarily. Just maybe a little more current, up-to-date. Maybe something current in the news.
Well, if you didn't know that you're as tall as your hands spread out, arms spread out, it's kind of a fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm thinking just to add some value. A little bit more value.
I'm not sure if that adds value to the show or takes away, so we can think about
when
that.
When I learned that, I was pretty impressed by it.
Is that a new fact for you?
No, it was a while ago.
Okay.
It was like 3 days ago.
Okay.
And I measured it.
You actually took a tape measure?
And I was exactly...
Did you use your never measure?
I was exactly 6'4". Yeah, I mean, it worked perfectly.
On the never measure, 6'4", no matter what you do.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, that never measure is definitely not up to par.
So in this hour, Inner Sanctum, as I told you in the last hour, this is probably the best episode from the Inner Sanctum series. You are going to love this show.
We will turn down the lights and listen.
Yeah, put the light sound down, you know, almost all the way down if you can, if you have a dimmer on it, or completely out. You're going to love it. That's coming your way in just a few minutes. But right now it's time to play our game, Cat's Bride. Is it real or is it ridiculous?
Yes, the celebrity is John Wayne.
Oh, and I have my...
Oh, great.
I have my... It was in my bag. I didn't get it out.
I thought maybe you left it with your keys somewhere.
No, I have it. I got it. All right, John Wayne.
Yes, John Wayne. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, Pilgrim.
Oh, boy.
And I'm going to tell you something, Pilgrim.
And we're going to give away a Twilight Zone. It is a four CD set.
Yeah, all right. 312-981-7200. What caller would you
like? Caller number four.
Call now. 312-981-7200. Caller four is going to play the game live on the air. We'll be right back. Come on, baby.
We have Joe on the phone. Hi, Joe. We have Joe?
Brenda?
Oh, I'm sorry. Who is this?
Brenda.
Hi, Brenda. It's Lisa. How are you?
Just fine.
Good. Glad you made it through. Are you ready to do a little John Wayne with us?
Yes, I love John Wayne.
All right, you can help Carl out because he may need a little assistance. He needs to listen to his listeners.
Well, I might not, Pilgrim, because I probably will get every one of these right because I am John Wayne.
All right, well, okay, here we go. Number one, he owned a yacht named Second Wind. Is that real or ridiculous?
I know he owned a yacht, but I can't remember what it was called.
Carl, are you any help?
What do you think, Brenda?
Yeah.
Real or ridiculous?
Real.
All right. I'm going to say ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. You are right, though, Brenda, because he did own a yacht, but it was not called Second Wind. The name of the yacht was the Wild Goose.
Oh, yeah.
But that was you're halfway
there.
Here's
for me.
We're halfway there. Number two, John Wayne was an avid chess player. Is that real or ridiculous?
Well, I like to play chess,
boy.
Pilgrim. What do you think, Brenda?
Sounds like he would, but I'll say ridiculous.
Ridiculous? I'm going to go with her. I'm going to say ridiculous.
It is real.
Oh.
That is real. He was an avid chess player.
All right,
here we go. During the filming of The Undefeated, he fell from his horse and suffered three broken ribs.
Hmm.
Is that real or ridiculous?
Undefeated. I'll say ridiculous.
I'm going to say real.
Is real.
All right.
He actually did. But, Brenda, it doesn't matter because we appreciate that you called in and you are the winner. And you have won a Twilight Zone 4 CD set. It is hosted by Stacey Keach. And I can't tell you how many people are asking on the text in line for us to play the Twilight Zone radio dramas.
We'll play one.
We may play one eventually. But in the meantime, you've got a good set at home to listen to anytime you'd like to. So thank you so much for calling in, Brenda.
Oh, thank you. I love Twilight Zone.
Oh, thank you, Brenda. Appreciate that. All right, well, you're a big winner, so thank you very much. She's a big winner, Lisa.
I know.
She didn't get any right, but it doesn't matter because
that's the fun of this game.
That's the fun about the game. You don't have to get them right.
Well, you would know all about that.
I think I got two.
You did.
Let me ask John. Hey, John, how many did I got? How many did I get? Well, Pilgrim, you got two out of the three. It's sort of like an Edgar Bergen thing I got going here.
Yeah.
Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy.
Yeah.
His lips didn't even move.
Nope, not at all. You were excellent. Good.
How do you know, Roger?
I'm looking at you.
I didn't say you were excellent. I just said your lips didn't move.
Did you know if my lips were moving or not? You're
can
in another
see
room.
The camera.
I can see you.
The camera, okay.
Yeah. All right.
That's right. Tell him, Roger.
Yeah.
I suppose you could do a better John Wayne.
I didn't say I could.
All right.
I can't do a worse one.
That's for sure. All right, you ready for one of your favorite shows, Roger?
Of course.
Inner Sanctum.
Yes.
Yes. Came to radio in 1941. It was created and produced and directed by the famous, wonderful Hyman Brown. You know, Hyman Brown also created the CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Which I used
Marshall.
To air
yeah.
when I worked at a radio station in Las Vegas.
I know.
That was a CBS network affiliate.
I know you did.
Had to make sure the song ended right before midnight, gave the ID, and
boom,
took the network.
And then you heard the creaking door,
because
he used that same creaking door on that show, too. Now, Raymond Edward Johnson and then Paul McGrath were our hosts on the show. Of course, the creaking door was the signature to this program, that squeaky, creaky door at the beginning. And that was set it apart from other radio shows. Now, although most of these programs just used great New York actors like the star on this show, Arnold Moss or Mason Adams or Mercedes McCambridge, every once in a while there was a big name star like Boris Karloff or Peter Lorre or Richard Widmark, but primarily no name, supporting actors. Now, for a time, Lipton Tea was the sponsor of the show. Also, Bromo Seltzer was a sponsor for a while. And Carter's Little Liver Pills as well. Yeah. So, anyway, you're going to like this show. It's called Song of the Slasher from April 24th, 1945. Arnold Moss stars. Here's part one now of Inner Sanctum Mystery.
Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup present Inner Sanctum Mysteries. Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. This is your host, Raymond, the gay ghoul. Friends, would you like to fly through the air with the greatest of ease? Do you think you'd enjoy being invisible, huh? Oh, it's easy. All you have to do is become a ghost. And to become a ghost, all you have to do is accentuate the ectoplasm and eliminate the protoplasm. Man, if that doesn't work, we'll introduce you to one of the characters on our show. He'll take care of you.
And that's the truth. What awful people on this show. Wherever do you find them, Mr. Raymond?
Well, it's simple. All you have to do is turn over a rock and out they come crawling.
And just suppose you were looking for decent people. How would you find them?
Oh, well, now, Mary, you were the one who showed me how I'd just go snooping around houses, peering into windows, and I'd find all the nice people drinking Lipton tea.
Oh, dear, there you go making fun again. You know, maybe if you drank Lipton tea, you wouldn't be such a bitter, unhappy person. Yes, there's something so warming and cheerful about Lipton's. I guess that's why lots of folks drink it not only at mealtimes, but between meals, or whenever they get a chance to sit down and enjoy Lipton's famous brisk flavor. Mm-hmm. That word brisk, B-R-I-S-K, explains a lot when it comes to tea flavor. Brisk means that Lipton tea always tastes tangy and bracing. It's never flat or wishy-washy. That's right. You just don't know how good tea can be till you know how good Lipton's is.
All right, Mary. As long as you're in the kitchen, you'd better sharpen up a couple of knives, as our main character tonight is going to use them. Our story is called Song of the Slasher. It's an original radio play by Milton Lewis and stars Arnold Moss in the role of Detective Dan Miller. Are you ready? Then gather close and listen. If you find you're getting too many chills and just sitting a fire. A thick, murky fog hangs like a damp veil over the waterfront. The streets are deserted. The buildings loom like tombstones in a cemetery. No living soul can be seen because people with sense stay behind locked doors. The slasher has murdered and mutilated his fifth victim in 8 days. In a drab, lonely little room, a young woman suddenly looks up when she hears a door close.
Well, what's the matter? Can't you speak? Hey, you, get away from me. Get back up. That knife. What are you doing with that knife? You're that slasher. Help! Help me, someone! It's the slasher! Help!
Hello, police headquarters.
Hello? It's the slasher.
What are you talking about?
He's here. 12 Dock Street. He's upstairs. Mr. Nell's apartment. I can hear her screaming now. He's with her. I go upward. I'm an old man. It's the slasher. He's killing her.
Hello?
Is that you, Miller?
Speaking.
This is Captain Quinn, headquarters. Here's the chance you've been waiting for.
The slash is at 12 Dock Street, right around the corner from you.
On my way, Captain. Bye. And that's how it started. A detective is asked to do some queer things in the line of duty. I didn't mind moving down to the dump at the waterfront with my wife if it would help catch the slasher. So when I got the call, I rushed out of my joint and beat it down to 12 Dock Street.
Oh.
Where is he? Where'd he go?
Hey, listen, I...
Don't do that. I'll get you a doctor. And listen to me, sister.
Don't know what her name is. Are they going to send an ambulance?
Yeah, but it won't do her no good.
You were too late.
Did you see the guy who did it?
I saw nobody.
It can't be far. He was here a minute ago.
I heard someone go out the back way.
When?
A minute ago. Listen.
It's coming from that alley down there. Fog's so thick you can't see 2 feet ahead of you.
The back way goes into the alley.
Then it's him.
The slasher.
Got down to the alley, the radio cars, and the men from the precinct were coming. They went through that neighborhood with a sieve. But we couldn't find the guy who whistled that queer tune.
That you, Danny?
Yeah.
Oh. What happened?
Well, you shouldn't have got out of bed, baby.
I was worried.
He got away.
Did he kill another?
Yeah, another dame. It wasn't so foggy I could have seen him. That's how close it was.
Any clues?
No, nothing to speak of. Hey, look, baby, don't you worry about this. You go back and get some sleep.
I'm frightened, Danny. That man is somewhere in this neighborhood. I'm not living here.
I shouldn't have brought you down here. You're going back to our old place tomorrow.
No, I'm not. I don't want you here alone. And I want to stay with you.
Shut up.
Danny.
Listen. You hear that, don't you? That ain't something I'm hearing in my head, is it?
Danny, what are you...
Answer me. I want to make sure I ain't hearing things.
Well, of course I hear it. It's someone whistling, but why are you acting like this?
The slasher whistles that tune.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I heard him tonight.
Then the killer... The slasher must be somewhere around here.
I'm going out, baby. Lock the door. The whistling was somewhere in the building. I listened. Where was it coming from? It was gone. I looked at my watch. 4:30 in the morning. I walked down the stairs listening for the whistle. I walked on my toes. Listened at the other flats. I didn't hear a thing. I went down into the cellar. There was someone there, all right.
Oh, who's there?
It was Sykes, the janitor. I came closer.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Miller.
Yeah, Mr. Sykes. Hey, what's the matter? You're shaking like you got a fever.
You frightened me.
Why?
I thought you were the slasher.
Yeah?
He's around here, you know. He might be hiding in these shadows. Might be anywhere. Everybody's afraid of him. Everybody.
Yeah, so I hear. Time did you come down here?
4:30, like I do every morning. Why?
See any stranger in the building?
No, I didn't see anyone.
Who lives in the flat below us?
Mr. Trevelyan. Reginald Trevelyan.
Funny name.
He's a funny fella. Never sleeps at night. Wanders around the building whistling to himself.
Whistling to himself?
Yeah. He writes music or something. He got a piano in his place today. He talks crazy sometimes.
Think he's up there now?
Yeah, he never sleeps.
Here.
$20?
Yeah, it's for you.
Why are you giving this to me?
I want you to tell me when Mr. Trevelyan leaves his apartment. Do you get it?
Yeah, but why?
I ain't paying you $20 to ask questions.
Who's there?
Miller. Mr. Miller.
Yes? What is it, Mr. Miller?
My wife and I live upstairs. I know it's kind of late, but, can I come in here for a minute?
Of course.
Hope I'm not disturbing you.
No, it's quite all right. You the people who moved in a few days ago?
That's right.
Glad to know you. My name's Reginald Trevelyan.
Dan Miller's mine. You been up all night?
Yes. Why do you ask?
Well, because maybe you can help me. Someone tried to break into our place at about 4:30 this morning.
Really? Mr. Miller, you think your wife would be very annoyed if I play the piano now?
No. No, I don't think so. She likes music.
Does she? Seemed like a charming girl. I noticed her when you first moved in. You're very lucky to have such an attractive wife.
You whistle yourself like that very often?
Yes. Especially when I'm working on a new composition. Wait a moment. I think I have it. I've been trying to work out that passage all night. Mr. Miller, please get out of here. I want to be alone.
You're a queer, you are.
I'm not interested in your opinion. Well, what are you waiting for? Get out of here! Get out or I'll blow you out!
Try it!
I've lost it!
What? What?
That passage! You see what you've done? I had it a minute ago, and now it's gone! Gone! It's how it's been lately. I keep forgetting things. I'm sorry if I was rude to you. I didn't mean to be. Mr. Miller.
Good night.
Mr. Miller. Is it really true what it says in the papers about the slasher? That he has the whole neighborhood trembling in terror?
Yes.
Lovely. Trembling for their miserable little lives. Worried about their dirty little souls. Shivering in fear in their ugly little rat holes. If I knew who the slasher was, I'd embrace him. And give him every penny I have.
Why?
Because I hate them. Because they laugh at me. Because... Good night, Mr. Miller.
I phoned headquarters, told them to check on Trevelyan. Oh, he was a queer one, all right. So queer, I didn't tell Laura about him. I didn't want to scare her. Couldn't arrest him. I didn't have anything on him yet. I lay down to rest. Maybe I heard it in my dream. Maybe not. I heard that whistling again. That same tune. I think that's what woke me. I looked around. Laura. She was gone. And the door was open. Out. The hall was filled with thick fog. In the yellow light, I saw a crumpled heap on the floor. I recognized Laura's bathroom.
I love these Inner Sanctum mysteries because there's always this really powerful organ, you know, this Hammond organ that's just like, right? Right, Lisa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a powerful organ.
It's definitely a powerful organ. But I digress, though. This Inner Sanctum is really good.
Oh, it's really
Song
good.
Song of the Slasher with Arnold Moss in this program going back to 1945. Inner Sanctum was one of the best, in my opinion. I mean, I love suspense and I love escape, but Inner Sanctum, there was a, it was just a cut above in the horror genre. You know, it was like, I would consider Inner Sanctum a horror show. Lights Out, a horror show. And I just love these really scary ones. And this is one of the best in the series. We'll get back to it in just a moment.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Don't forget, send your Woodman's receipt in. Get 12 classic radio shows via digital download. Just shop at Woodman's, and they're all over the place. And they're the most amazing grocery store. They are huge. You can get everything you're looking for there. And they have low prices every aisle, low prices every day. Woodman's, they're amazing. And now, thanks to Woodman's, when you shop there, you can take a photo of your receipt and email it to me at woodmanswgn@gmail.com. And I'll turn right around and send you 12 classic radio shows. And that will change every month. So just keep shopping at Woodman's and keep growing your collection of classic radio digital downloads. We appreciate Woodman's. They're one of our new sponsors here on the WGN Radio Theater, and you will love shopping there. Lisa shopped there yesterday and got those apples. Was it yesterday or today?
It was yesterday.
Okay. She got two apples. We just ate them. They were fantastic.
You know what the thing about Woodman's is also, it is your one-stop shop.
Yeah.
Everything you need is there. I know sometimes I'll go to one grocery store because I like the deli there and another grocery store for the produce and whatnot, but not at Woodman's. You can get everything you want right there, so you don't have to go anywhere else.
Absolutely. Yep. And make sure you send in that receipt. Shop at Woodman's. Get some classic radio shows. All right, it's time now for the conclusion to Inner Sanctum.
Ah, the Slasher, that's my boy. He's not the type of low character who goes around murdering his friends and relatives. No, he's so big-hearted he murders anyone. Even people he's never introduced to. He's no snob.
Snob? He's much worse than a snob. He's a lunatic.
Oh, Mary, you're so unsympathetic. He's just lonely. He wants to get close to people with a knife.
Well, if he's so lonely, then why does he go around cutting people? You see, Mr. Raymond, I can say the same kind of things you do.
Don't you dare just be your sweet, practical self, or else...
You can't frighten me, Mr. Raymond. But as a matter of fact, I do have something practical to say. I'm going to suggest that all the folks who drink Lipton tea should buy the larger, more economical-sized packages. Not only because they're thriftier, but for another reason. You see, if you have a large package of Liptons at home, then you're not likely to run out just when you need it. For instance, when folks happen to drop in unexpectedly some evening. And of course, Lipton's is a grand drink to serve your guests. It goes so well with cake or sandwiches. It just seems to make everything taste better. So, folks, be sure to have a good supply of that brisk Lipton tea on hand.
Yeah, do that. And while you're at it, be sure to have an extra hand on hand, because the Slasher may want to collect one for a souvenir. Well, we've kept the blood from flowing long enough. On with the murders. Listen as we hear Arnold Moss as Dan Miller... finish that story.
Laura was alive in a dead faint. I scooped her up in my arms and rushed her back to our flat. She opened her eyes a few minutes later.
Dan.
You're okay, baby.
He was going to kill me.
Yeah. Drink some of this.
Thanks. Oh, Danny, it was awful.
What happened?
Well, you were asleep. I went out to get the milk, and I heard someone whistling.
Do you remember what?
That same queer melody we heard before, the one the Slasher whistled. So I thought I'd help you.
Help me?
I thought I'd see him. I walked quietly down the hall, and there was no one there. Then I turned a corner.
Yeah?
I saw the knife gleam. Someone was hiding in the shadows. He grabbed my neck, and I screamed. I screamed, Annie. I screamed so I thought I'd burst my throat, and then it all went black.
Did you see him?
No, but I felt his hands on my throat. They were strong hands, fingers like steel, and I... Oh, Danny, I'm sorry. I can't even talk about it.
Now, lie down. You'll be all right.
But when you think that he's right here, maybe living in this building...
Well, he won't be here long. I'm calling headquarters.
You know who he is.
I got a good idea. Now just let me get on that phone and...
Oh, damn it, maybe that's him.
Take it easy, kid. Who's there?
Dice.
It's just a janitor, baby.
Oh.
What do you want?
He went out.
Trevelyan?
Yeah.
Okay. Laura, get dressed. I want to get you out of here before the trouble starts. I'll be gone for a few minutes.
Where are you going?
With Mr. Sykes. You got a key, Sykes?
Yeah, but I'll have to go along with you. You can't take anything.
You know what this badge means?
You a detective?
Yeah. Now let's go.
What are you doing here? Looking for the slasher?
I'll write your book about it, pal. Now, here's his joints. Open the door.
All right. But you'll have to hurry. He may come back any minute.
All I want is enough evidence. I'll take care of him when we get it.
The door's open. Come on in.
It was 8 a.m. But it could have been 8 p.m. The fog was so thick. I knew this was it. I couldn't take any chances. I had to get all the evidence on it before I nabbed him. And I had to get it without him being wise.
What are you looking for?
Knives. We know he's got at least 3.
I don't see none.
Neither do I. Maybe it's a bum steer. I could be wrong. Hey, what's this? Music.
He's always writing it.
I used to be a choir boy once. They taught me how to read them notes. I wonder if I still can.
Why?
Because I think this may be a tune I'm looking for. Let me see.
That song.
Did you ever hear it before?
Yeah.
Bet you did. He's always whistling it. I heard it myself when he killed the last one. Gotta find those knives.
You better hurry. I think he just went out to get some breakfast.
I looked everywhere. Couldn't find the knives. I couldn't bring a guy in just because I heard a song. I found a bunch of keys. They were trunk keys. But there was no trunk.
I think I hear him coming.
Never mind what you think. Where does he keep his trunk?
In the storeroom in the cellar. He's always going down there for things.
Hold it.
That's him.
Yeah. Come here. There's room behind this upright piano for both of us.
For the piece to shut up.
Shut up. Get behind here and hurry. He sat down at the piano and played a queer arrangement of the same tune that led me to him. I reached for my gun just in case. Suddenly, I felt the sweat ooze out of me. It was sweat that felt like ice. I didn't have my gun. I remembered I took it off when I laid down to rest.
It's all wrong! Why can't I get it right?
Going out again. Come on, Sykes.
I told you to hurry before.
I hear him going down those stairs. It's safe to go now. All right, Sykes. We're going to open that trunk in the storeroom.
Here's his trunk, Mr. Miller.
This key should open it.
The knives?
Yeah. The knives. Look at them. Covered with blood.
Gee.
Sykes, go to the police precinct. Tell him Miller sent you. Tell him to come over here with as many men as he can spare.
All right.
I took the knives and put them under my coat. Went up to my room.
Yes, I'm leaving. I'll be home soon.
I could hear Laura talking on the phone with someone. I opened the door.
Oh, I better hang up now. Danny just came in. Goodbye, darling.
Who are you talking to?
Mother, I'm ready to go.
Oh, wait a minute. There's no rush.
Is it Danny? Is that man at the piano? Sounds like the Thrasher song.
Yeah.
What have you got there?
My gun. Come on, baby, we're gone.
That man playing the piano. Are you sure he's the Thrasher?
Yeah. Positive.
Oh, Danny, you're hurting my arm.
Oh, sorry, honey. I'm nervous. That's his place. Come on in with me.
Come in with
him? Yeah. I figured out a way to trap him.
But Danny,
don't be scared, baby. You'll be okay.
Oh. It's you.
Yeah, Mr. Trevelyan. I
like you to meet my wife.
I'm delighted.
How do you do?
Would you like to hear something? It's a composition I've just completed. I've had a great deal of trouble with it. But I think I've got it right now.
You got it coming to you, Slasher.
You stupid swine. You idiot. Why did you give me a chance? My music not even written down.
Danny. You murdered him.
Yeah.
Why?
You'll find out.
What are you going to do with that knife?
It's one of his knives. Stand still, Laura.
Danny, let go of me!
In a minute.
Danny, what's the matter with you?
You got it coming to you, too.
Danny!
I know who you were talking to on that phone. It wasn't your old lady.
What?
It was Jerry Boyd, that guy who lives next door, wasn't it? Answer me, wasn't it?
No!
Lie to me!
So this is why you made me come down here with you. You planned this all along.
That's right, baby. And that's why I had you insured for 40 grand.
Oh.
You made one bad mistake. You married a smart cookie.
You're going to kill me and blame it on the slasher.
Yeah.
No! Help me, someone! Help me! Daddy! Don't!
When it was over, I wiped the knife clean of fingerprints. And then I smeared Trevelyan's hand over the handle. I knew what to do. Made it look good, made it look perfect. There's a way to get away with murder. And I found it. I thought.
Go on with the report, Noah.
Well, Captain Quinn, after I sent Sykes to the precinct, I went upstairs for my gun. My wife wasn't there, and got the gun, and I heard a scream. I rushed to his place. I opened the door. I saw Laura. The second I thought I'd pass out.
Yeah?
He grabbed a knife and come at me, and I shot him and killed him. Oh, Laura.
She was insured for $40,000, wasn't she?
Yeah. Yeah. What difference does that make now?
A lot of difference, Miller. I want you to meet someone. Come in, Sykes.
Yes, Captain.
Did you hear Detective Miller's report clearly?
Yes, sir.
Was he telling the truth?
No. He lied.
What are you talking about?
I didn't go to the police when you told me. I hid in the cellar. I saw you go upstairs. I saw you get your wife and go to Trevelyan's place. I listened at the door. I heard you shoot Trevelyan and then murder your wife.
Captain, the man's insane.
Yes, Miller. A homicidal maniac. I'll take away his coat. You see? He's handcuffed.
I don't get it.
He's the slasher.
He? It's impossible. I told you about that melody. Why, it's still on Trevelyan's piano.
Trevelyan copying down that melody after he heard Sykes whistle it.
Yeah. I whistled the whole thing for him.
But the knives I found in Trevelyan's trunk.
I put them there. I knew who you were.
Sykes was trying to frame Trevelyan. He's made a complete confession, Noah.
But how did you find out
when
that
When you asked us to check on Trevelyan, we discovered that he's quite a famous, if eccentric, composer. I checked up on the other people in the building at the same time. I found out that Sykes escaped from the State Institute for the Insane 2 years ago. He's confessed.
Yeah. I'm the slasher. Why should Trevelyan become famous for what I've done?
You had a perfect crime all figured out, Miller. But you made one little mistake. You decided the wrong person was the slasher. Even a copper can't pull a perfect one, Miller.
So I'm telling you all this because in 10 minutes I won't be able to tell nobody anything. Ever since I made my report, I've been... and hearing that song in my head. Like somebody whistling it. Soon I won't hear that either. It's a nice tune. Kind of sad.
Moral for tonight's story is never quarrel with your wife. Avoid strife. If that doesn't work, get a carving knife. Now, there's the perfect formula for domestic bliss. Don't you think so, Mary?
I do not.
Oh, well, then I'll give you another one. You'll love this one. Beat her till she's black and blue. Break her arms and legs in two. Then tell her to brew a cup of Lipton tea for you.
Oh, I give up. All I can hope is that folks don't pay any attention to all these peculiar things you say about Liptons. And I guess they don't. The proof is that more people drink Lipton tea than any other brand. But if any of you folks haven't tried Lipton's, then why don't you do so now before Mr. Raymond says a word more about it? Why not let that famous brisk flavor speak for itself?
By the way, this month's Inner Sanctum Mystery novel is The Lucky Stiff by Craig Wright. And now I guess it's really time to close that squeaking door until next week, the same time, when Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup bring you another Inner Sanctum Mystery directed by Hyman Brown. So until then, good night. Pleasant dream time.
Don't forget to tune in next Tuesday night for another Inner Sanctum Mystery.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Gosh, what a great show. Inner Sanctum Mystery, April 24th, 1945, Song of the Slasher, starring Arnold Moss. Also in that cast, Raymond Edward Johnson as the host. And then you had Mary Bennett was the commercial spokesgirl for Lipton Tea on that. Also in the cast, Jackson Beck, Leslie Woods. Leslie Woods played Mary Wesley on Boston Blackie, and then Lawson Zerbe, all on that Inner Sanctum Mystery broadcast.